You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 53 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
First it was Octo No Child Porn Ober, then it was No Note November. Now it's December. The one month a year where anything goes. It's like the purge.
We are back. Here with my good pal, world-famous comedian Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah.
I'm Greg Rosenthal, work for the NFL Network. Our producer, Erica Tamposi, also in the house. And I'm excited to hear what Anthony has to say, because for the first time, I walked up, you know, I came up the elevator at Comedy Central, and Anthony was just steaming. And he just said he wanted to tell me what it was all about on the podcast. So now we're just living our lives this way.
I mean, first of all, I've told you several times, maybe last 5 weeks in a row, why do you set it up like that every time? Why do you introduce everybody? Why
because,
not?
Because
why not
you said it 5 weeks in a row.
Okay. I'll accept that. I'll accept that as an answer. A bunch of stuff happened this week. You know, we all had Thanksgiving, so I'm sure there's things to talk about. Here's why I am so furious. Here's why I am like, I cannot believe this happened to me. Last week I talked about my TMJ, my grinding of my teeth, and that I had broken my mouth guard.
Yeah.
And that I asked my manager for a recommendation of someone, and she's like, I hear great things about this guy. This guy's like special. And I had the assistant call and make an appointment. They're like, the best they can do is 2 weeks from now. So I'm like, I'm in hell. I've got half mouth guard in. Every night is terrible. I'm on extra medication for it. Like, I wake up just annoyed, and I'm like dreaming about going in to see this orthodontist. I go in today. I have a noon appointment. I go in, and they're like excited to see me. I walk in, they're like Anthony, and I'm like, okay, they know who I am. I'm gonna get special treatment. I go in. That I just go in this office right here, doctor, be right with you. The assistant's asking me a couple of questions. I'm like, yeah, I'm just here. I just need a new mouth guard. It's just TMJ. Like, there's no pain. It's just like, it's the bane of my existence. Like, I tell her the thing that I said last week. I would cut off three fingers to have a stunt. She's like, oh my God. It's like, okay. Okay, let me get the doctor in here. Doctor walks in. He's like, hey, big fan. Anthony, love your stuff. Glad you came in here. What can we do for you? And I'm like, I need a new mouth guard. And if there's anything you know about TMJ, you know, I'd love to hear it. Like, if you tell me stop drinking, I'll stop drinking. You tell me no more marijuana. Like, I want to get this fixed. And you were highly recommended. And he's like, let me look at your teeth. He looks at him. He's like, yeah, everything looks good. He's like, I don't do TMJ stuff. He goes, I don't do mouth guards. That's not my thing. He's like, to be honest, I just wanted to meet you. And he's like, the real guy you got to see is this other guy. And he hands me like a pamphlet and a card. He's like, this guy, all he does is TMJ.
Oh.
It's like, this guy is the best. This is who you should have seen. So they called and said he wanted to come in. And I was like, I got to meet this guy. I got to see if he's really like that in real life. And I am in shock. Like, I've had meetings before where someone's like, hey, I'd like to come meet you and have dinner. And I'm like, oh, maybe they have a project. And it's just, they want to meet me and talk to me. I've never had someone be like, oh, you're in physical pain and you need help? I mean, it's like, it's against the Hippocratic Oath. I won't say, like, I've forgotten the guy's name. I like walked out of there.
Did you say anything though?
No, I was just, I didn't say any, because I was just shocked.
Yeah.
The guy's just big smile as if like I came in there, like I was having lunch around the corner, thought I'd stop in and see a big fan. But the fact that I was like, this is the bane of my existence and you were highly recommended and you're just like, yeah, I don't do that. But after like 20 minutes of me explaining to him what I needed, and when he said, I just wanted to meet you.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised you didn't, have some comments for him right off the bat. Just, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, if ever there's a time to be an asshole, that was it.
I'm honestly, in situations like that, I become almost afraid. It's like when you'd be in college and they'd give you the teacher's survey at the end of the time, I would always give them 100% because I'm like, maybe they know. And it'll help my grade. I don't want to like slam this guy and have him call up the dude I'm going to see and be like, this guy was a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that I'm like, I want this fixed. That I just like.
Yeah, but wasn't he recommended to you?
He was recommended like through a third party who was just like, I hear great things about this guy. But he was like, no, I just do teeth. The spacing on your teeth is fine. If you need something done, maybe you can come back to me, but I don't do mouth guards. And all I needed was a mouth guard. So I'm going to see this other guy on Thursday where it's like a 2-hour appointment. They want to run tests and do all this stuff that finally it'll be taken care of. But I was just, I've never been in anything that unprofessional and like thinking that I'm going to get relief. Like, I was so excited going to bed last night. Like, this is the last night I have to deal with this. And then to go in and hear that, I was, like, livid. And I called the assistant and was like, this is what happened. And she was like, oh, my God. My manager texted me and apologized.
Yeah, she should. Like, yeah. Ultimately, it wasn't a bad job.
She wasn't like, this is my orthodontist. She was like, I've heard good things about this person. But it was just mind-blowing for him to admit. If he had been like, there must have been some confusion.
In a sense, it could be a compliment. I mean, it's finally happened. Been in the business a long time. It's 2019. Anthony Jeselnik's too big. You know, you're too big for your own good. It's now harming your health. Your insane, popularity with the masses came back to haunt you.
Like, imagine, like, you cut yourself and you go to the ER. And like, oh, Dr. Smith will be right with you. And Dr. Smith walks in and is like, oh, yeah, that looks bad. Hey, I just want to shake your hand. I don't do stitches. That guy's busy. But I thought I'd come in here and just, just doctor it up for a second with you. If you have any eye problems, let me know, because that's my thing. But
this wouldn't happen to, like, Shakespeare-era Anthony Jeselnik, you know what I mean?
Good.
This wouldn't happen for the people that are opening for you.
No. It shouldn't happen to anyone ever. I could not have been more clear in the lead up to the appointment. I had to fill out the assistant filled out all the things, but it was like, all he wants is a mouth guard, and it's all about TMJ. That's it. Like, have your teeth shifted? No, they have not. My teeth are perfect. I could not believe it. And I was just so in shock that it didn't occur to me to get mad or to yell at the guy or say, this is completely inappropriate.
Right, that's
you're a bad orthodontist. He wasn't like, there wasn't a point where he was like, I hope that's okay. He was just like, yeah, hey, this is my day. And I know it takes a while to get in here. I'm very busy, but not what I do. Go see this guy. Why not on the phone say, we don't do this. Go see this guy. So I'm excited to see this guy. But who knows? Maybe I go in and he's like, oh, I actually make TMJ worse, but I just wanted to meet you. I just wanted to see the guy behind the Netflix specials that I like so much.
From like a further distance from a different angle. I mean, it is kind of like it's a funny story with time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I got angry as the day went on and I realized what my next two nights are going to be like.
Ugh.
And just thinking that I was going to be okay. And after I went home for Thanksgiving and a lot of the exercises that I do are to help this TMJ. Like, it's literally the only reason that I work out as much as I do.
What does TMJ stand for?
Something
just
jaw.
Like a hard jaw, something with your jaws.
It's like you're grinding your teeth. I forget what TMJ stands for.
I have a TMJ mouth guard thing.
Yeah.
Do you see? It's like bruxism. You seem to be a little on edge about your trip home too. Was that because of the TMJ or just, you know, wasn't like a ball of laughs?
I wasn't on edge about it. I mean, it was a good time. It was a different kind of trip because my siblings weren't home. I actually got to spend more time with my dad than I usually do. You know, it's usually me and my brother and my brother-in-law drinking and my dad just kind of hanging out. But this was me and my dad by the fire watching a lot of college football. My mom, I got the same mom I always get. You know, she's got a million questions. I only snapped at her once. Someone was like, what happened? And I was like, it was like 2 a.m. We'd been drinking, like my dad had gone to bed, and she just asked me questions. And a lot of the questions are similar, but she kept asking me like, and where do you see yourself in 4 years? And I was like, I have no idea. Like, the business is changing so much. Like, there might be a network that I've never heard of that is up in 4 years. You know, Comedy Central might not be here in 4 years. I don't know what Quibi is. Like, you have no idea what the future holds. She's like, but where do you see yourself? And I was like, I don't, Mom, I don't know. And like, but what are the, like, what does Christy say about where you'll be in 4 years? And I go, I don't know. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, my bad. And then I'm like, I've got to go to bed. And she's like, I'm sorry if I was too much. And I was like, it's not you. I was going to go to bed anyway. And the next day, she was like, I'm sorry about that. If that was like, that question bothered you. And I was like, you just asked it 4 times and I kept on giving you the answer. But it was just, I don't know.
Well, that, over and over. There is something strange with parents as, you know, you get older, we're both 40 now, that I hate to admit it, but there's something about my mom like that brings out the worst in me, you know, when she visits in on some level that, you know, maybe it's because she reminds me so much of myself. And then I just realize, like, you know, how annoying I am. But like, you know, she'll just ask very similarly. She's got a lot of questions. It's all questions all the time. And then I do a similar thing where like I just at some point just if I'm in the mood, it's great. But if not, then I just want to like shut down and, you know, stop all these questions. And you turn it back into like a kid.
It never makes me angry. I understand they love the time they get with us. You know, they understand they only see me a couple times a year. They want to maximize it. That never bothers me. I'm never like mad at my mom or like dreading seeing my mom.
I'm not mad or dreading it. I just, after like a half an hour, I'll notice I say goodbye to her for the day. I'm like, gosh, I was a jerk there, and then try to do better the next day.
I do my best, and I enjoy spending time with my mom. My mom and I polished off many a bottle of wine and hung out. But
did she
usually,
like the wine you got? Oh, wait, you didn't give it to her yet, or did you?
I got wine, but they didn't have the wine she normally likes.
Right,
so I was like, what's
like
the
it?
Best one? And she was like, like, she doesn't like the, she didn't like the, she, I mean, she liked it. She's like, you know, when it warms up, it's a little, and I'm like, this is the best possible wine I could have gotten you. That's always the case. If I don't get the exact TWR Sauvignon Blanc that she likes, I got her the better one, and I liked it, but she was not into it. And it was a fun trip. It was a fun trip in that I got to see my mom, got to see my dad. One of my sisters, Courtney, was around. Everyone else was gone.
How about the high
school
friends?
So it was like the high school friends, like literally the day, like Friday, one of them who was putting it all together cancels. She's like, I can't do it. She's like, I'm leaving tomorrow at like 4:30 for like a trip with the family. I got three daughters. I haven't packed yet. I'm stressed. And it's like, so it's just going to be like a couple of you. And one of them is like, I'm really good friends with, who's looking forward to seeing. And but I just felt like such hell. And it was like, meet at 8 o'clock at this bar and grill near the house. And I was just like, I just don't want it. Like, I'm gonna cancel. And as soon as I even canceled, I felt better. And then I was supposed to have dinner with my sister the next night, and then she canceled. She was like, I can't make dinner. That so every night, like I literally walked in at midnight on Wednesday, took my shoes off, never put them back on until I put them on to leave on Sunday. Didn't even walk outside the house. It was freezing. You didn't want to go or do anything. And the two plans I had were canceled. So I got a lot of dad time, which was actually very nice. And, you know, got the normal mom time. But like when I left, I was like, listen, you guys come visit me whenever. Cause they're like, in January, it's your nephew Liam's birthday. Would you want to come out and surprise everybody? And I'm like, go to Chicago in January? Not on your life. Like, I don't care whose birthday it is. I'm staying in LA. You guys can come to me in the winter. And when I went home in August, I had a blast in Pittsburgh. It was great. But I will never, I hope I never go home again when it's cold outside. It was
put Liam on a plane. Bring him out here for, you know, he could come on the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Junior vice president.
He could handle it. He'd be a great plane baby. I had never heard the kid cry. He's just happy as can be and hangs out and lets his giant 2-year-old older sister beat the hell out of him.
I thought I was going to get more horror stories or something. You just said without any details, you know, that you were sure that I had more fun on my Thanksgiving than you did. But your sounds fine.
It was a fun Thanksgiving, but like it's tough when, I don't know if mom is listening to this right now, which is a shame that you had to say that, Greg. But no, I had fun. It's just it's a different kind of fun without the siblings. Not only is it like I miss my siblings, I like hanging out with them, but it takes pressure off of me with the parents. Like the parents can go talk to Michael or Ashley or Courtney or Caroline or the grandkids, and then it was just me. And they're like maximizing that time. That it was like at one point my mom was like, I hope you're enjoying your vacation. And I was like, this is not a vacation. This is spending time with my parents. But I think they're going to come out here when if we do a good season 2 of Good Talk and have them come out. And I'd love spending time with my parents. It's just being home, you know,
like raises up
my shoulders. In the winter. In the summer, you can get out and walk around. It's like, okay, let's go do things. In the winter and in the fall, it's tough in Pittsburgh. But when they come out here, it's always a great time. So I enjoyed it. The travel was rough. Travel was brutal. If you're on a plane, from Atlanta to Los Angeles, and they come back and say, so we have two options for the meal. Would you like a chicken salad or a hot beef sandwich? Do not say hot beef sandwich. Do not say it.
In general, yeah, the hot beef on a plane.
It was the next morning I woke up and I went home. I got home from the airport. One of the worst rides I've ever had, like where I thought about complaining. The girl was so nice, but it was clear that she was being pulled into duty. That like, we're so busy. Would you drive this guy? Because we leave the airport and it's like 25 minutes to home. And then she's like, just lay back and just enjoy the ride. And then all of a sudden I hear like, returning to the airport, take a U-turn, returning to the airport. Like, and I'm just like, which gate? And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, it got me turned around. Oh, I should have taken that. Oh, should I? You know what? I know how to get you there. And I'm like, okay. And then I hear like, the airport's on your right. And I'm like, I would like opening my eyes. And I'm like, what's going on?
Wait, this was your Uber driver?
This was it's like a car that I hired.
Oh, for some reason, I thought he was still talking about the plane. And no. I was like, what the?
It was like literally an hour and 45 minutes that should have been a 25-minute drive. And she kept saying, you're so patient. Thank you for being so patient. And I'm like, I'm barely holding it together back here. And did not I thought about, like, do I complain about this person? No, I did not. She was a sweetheart, and I want her to keep her job. Other than the orthodontist nightmare and being home with my family for a couple days, I'm probably drinking a little bit too much white wine, which I only drink with my mother, which is insane. But I got my first Largo show this week. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a monthly event after this. This Thursday, it's already sold out, so I don't know why I'm pumping it up, except that it means that the hour's coming together. You know what I mean? It's starting to get there, that from now on every month, I'll have a new Largo show. Ooh. We've got a great lineup of people coming to this one. So if you're coming to that show, great. If not, there'll be tickets on sale soon for the January show, the February show, the March show. I think we've got those all booked. But I'm very excited to get back into stand-up and do as much as I can before we get back into season two of Good Talk, maybe.
Hmm.
Greg, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good.
I mean, you told me you were like my wife's being the biggest bitch of all time.
I would have never said that. I would never say that.
I could have sworn you said that. And you were like, I wish I didn't have both my kids. I think you said. See, Thanksgiving would be so much better alone.
I'm actually glad you added that, because now Emeka knows that you're just making things up. She was like, did he say that? No. No, not at all. We had a great Thanksgiving at home. And then we drove to Indian Wells, like Palm Springs area, that night, like through a rainstorm, which was maybe biting off a little bit too much, you know, than you should on Thanksgiving. It made the whole day a little more of a fire drill, that like we had to be done and try to get on the road and get the kids, you know, like traveling that night was probably stupid to see my cousin's family, and we hung out with them and hung out by a freezing pool.
Nothing dumber than seeing your cousin's family.
No, they were great.
I've got cousins. I know what it's like.
His dad listens to the show, so shout out to Dr. David Milner, you know, big fan.
That's great.
Does he do TMJ?
I do. I don't think so. I do. I do like keep finding people, including my mom, and that keep saying like they keep up with me through this podcast more than, you know, I communicate with them in real life.
Oh yeah, it's a stalker's paradise. My mom was like, "You don't talk to me anymore." I'm like, "You have the podcast. We don't have to talk as much." If I didn't have the podcast, once every 2 weeks, I would call her. But now it's like, you know what's going on in my life. And whenever she calls me, I return the call.
But it's a very, it's a strange phenomenon that I have good friends, like some of my best friends or relatives, and my mom is included, that, yeah, this is how I'm communicating with them. It's like, it's efficient, but it feels like you're losing something along the way.
It's the number one reason I want to stop this after 100 episodes, is just, it's like, it really is weird that people know more about. Like, I'll get emails from just like a fan who's like, yeah, so it was interesting that you were at the concert last night. And I'm like, how did you? Oh yeah, the podcast. I tell people everywhere I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing, that it's one of my least favorite parts. But I do like being able to communicate with my mother. I think my brother probably listens to most of them. I don't know if my sisters do. My dad certainly does not.
Yeah, I count on my dad not doing it. So I can be free to talk about it. I saw a little Frozen 2 a bunch of young children. So
how was?
I would not recommend it, you know, for adults. But I would say that about the first one too. Yeah.
I've never seen the first one. One time, like, Ellis asked me to read her a story. It was like a storybook version of Frozen. And I read it to her, and then I was like, looked at you guys and was like, is this the plot of the movie? Because this doesn't make a lick of sense. And I didn't know if it was like a side story or something they
it
made
doesn't.
Up.
A lot of it doesn't make sense, but Frozen 2, I need to find someone that's seen it, because it's funny, because, you know, on one hand, it's, you know, princesses and songs, and it's the lightest thing possible.
It's so
but
woke.
They tried to make it like Frozen 2, like reparations, you know, like tried to be like an allegory of like, whoops, sorry for taking your country, Native Americans. And it was just like them trying to like blend this deep topic with like a totally ham-fisted
people on
plot.
Twitter were saying how political it was.
It's so stupid.
Do you think reparations have something to do with Native Americans?
No, but it was more of like a general, like, we're sorry
why
to
are
what
you
we
yelling?
Did. I don't know, because Frozen 2 got me fired up.
When did you see it? What day did you see it?
Friday night.
Was the theater just crazy?
Or Thursday night. It wasn't too crazy. Thursday
and did Ellis love it as much as the first one? Was she just like psyched for more? Or was she just like, oh,
yeah, she liked it. Yeah, she liked it a lot.
Liked it or like loved it?
She liked it a lot.
Does she prefer the original?
She said she liked the new one more, I think.
Really? And did you take Walker?
It was more of like a superhero. It was Walker's first movie in the theater.
Really?
It's only Alice's like fourth.
I thought you took him to see Parasite.
I forgot about that.
Alice, how was your, Erica, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I had a bunch of friends over Friday. Just hung around, like did leftover stuff, you know, but Thursday, Wednesday night went out on the West Side with a bunch of people from work, actually. Which was cool. And then Thursday, I had a bunch of people over. It was really fun.
Sounds cool. Yeah. This was like the first Thanksgiving where I definitely felt 40, where it was just like the idea of going out with like all your high school friends afterwards was just like, I'd love, like, if we were going to like go see a movie together or hang out at one person's house and like watch and like just hang out and relax, I would have been fine. But going to a bar the day after Thanksgiving was just, I just could not imagine. I could not imagine.
I don't ever go, you know, home to where I grew up, you know, ever at this point. And I don't think I'm missing out.
My sister,
it's been like 15 years or whatever. I mean, my parents moved, and so there's no reason to go back there.
My oldest sister, Ashley, she's got two kids now, and she just said last time they went home, she was like, we're not coming home anymore. Like, it's too big a pain in the butt to drive from Chicago to LA or to Pittsburgh with a 1 year old and a 2.5 year old, that we're staying here. You guys can visit, and my parents visit a lot. They go there all the time. But my parents are like, okay, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, once you have kids, it's like
I gotta get a baby.
Even
I gotta
before
get one of those.
That, it's like home is where you live. Like home is where my kids are. Like LA is home.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it is different that your parents have moved. My parents are still in the house I grew up in. So that's a little different. There's like there's a more of a tradition. There's more love in that house than in your house. But I just, I got to get one of those like fake babies, like in that M. Night Shyamalan Apple Plus thing.
Servant billboards
everywhere.
Yeah,
the
crazy.
Servant thing. I got to get one of those fake babies that like is supposed to look like a real baby, but isn't.
Is that what
and
the
then
premise
just be
is?
Like, yeah. They get a replacement baby. The baby dies. The mom's like so freaked out that the dad gets her this like robot baby, and then they get a nanny to care for it, and the nanny treats it like it's a real baby, and then it goes from there. It looks batshit, and I'm getting one. Everyone's
Servant
freaking
baby?
Out about baby Yoda. I'm getting a fake baby that's just real enough to freak people out and being like, sorry, can't come home. I told them like I'll come home anytime when the weather is nice, but none of this Thanksgiving, Christmas. Kick rocks. And again, if you want to come to me, it's not that I'm against my family. Come to me whenever you want. I'd love to have you visit. But going back there, whew.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a place on your couch in your... It's like a
why are you telling
place.
People where I live? Some of the
you
things that come out of your mouth
we're just talking.
Are shocking to me on this podcast. Week in and week out. It's like you want me to get killed by either my mother or just a random stranger.
I mean, it's not going live out on the airways. We can edit anything you want.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for that. Greg, who lives on in Santa Monica. Look it up. Apartment. That was the week. Anything else you guys want to mention before we move on? No? Everyone's good? Anything, Greg, you want to tattle on me about anything else?
I mean, I just consider it having a normal conversation with my friend Anthony. That's the whole point of the show.
Now let's get into, did we get any notes?
For the past 2 years, I've been looking for my ex-girlfriend's killer. Nobody's willing to do it.
That was a stand-up comedy from Arjun Rangra. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. A-R-J-U-N-R-A-N-G-R-A. Someone sent me a clip. They said this is what your act sounds like in an Indian accent. It is a young man in, I believe he's got to be in India, doing a stand-up comedy show for his friends and family. And he does my act word for word, but without the timing and only one person laughing. And I love it. People are like, oh, I heard someone doing your joke at an open mic. I'm like, I don't care. What are they going to do with that? I've already done it in specials or on albums that this cracks me up. So instead of music tonight, you're going to get the stand-up stylings of Arjun Rangra.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's going to be something big. Did we get any notes? No, I think what's his face? Jeremy is still on a paternity leave.
Nailed it.
I was going to say maternity, but it's paternity. He's the guy. He wears the pants. He made his wife have the baby. And so he's on paternity leave, so we don't hear from him much. And whoever's replacement is just emails Erica, so no, I don't see any of this stuff. But last week I talked about the studio, about how I'm going to use the word unprofessional. They built a nice studio and the proper maintenance that has to go into keeping a place like this pristine and firing on all cylinders. I believe the support is not there. And I thought maybe we'd come in and like the mics would be coiled up and like, you know, the headphones would be all set and everything. And it's like, no, it's still exactly the same. And I blame that on the holidays. No one's going to be able to come in here. But there are things around the office that we know to look at, that if you do clean it up and you do what we say, we will know immediately. And those things are all still here. So I'm just going to make that note again.
Why can't we even specify it?
Because then they'll know and they'll just come take that out and then it like ruins the trick.
At least shows something.
It's like if you booby trap your house. Like if Kevin McAllister tells Joe Pesci, hey, I'm going to be swinging paint cans. He's looking for paint cans. You know what I mean? It's going to defeat the entire purpose. That's a metaphor that holds up. So I'm just going to say it again. Just because you built the studio doesn't mean you have the studio. Keep cleaning things up, not just for us, but for your two dads, you know, which is even more important than this. We're just talking. We're just talking about headlines, doing ads. Your two dads is really doing a service. And of course, Roast Battle, which no one listens to. But they've got like eight guys. It's like Brockhampton in here every time. And so the studio is different every time. It's weird. If you told me, Anthony, we do three podcasts a week in here and the rest of the time we use it as a daycare, I would believe that, the way this place looks. So let's clean it up, Comedy Central. That was a note from me. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Okay. Guys, let's talk about something called Hims. A wellness brand for men. You know, Hims is all about looking your best. And not every guy gets to look their best like me, like Greg. And even me, my hair's starting to thin out a little bit. You know, my skin still looks great, but my hair's getting a little thin. Will I ever go bald? No, I'm that good. But not everyone else is so lucky. And I know every guy who's going bald, losing their hair a little bit, they think about it. The solution is forhims.com, forhims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and, get this, sexual wellness for men. But you know what? If your hair game's kicking and your skin game's kicking, you don't need sexual wellness. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You'll get the job done. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. You can be the best version of yourself. Licensed physicians, FBA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills, gas station counter supplements, prescription solutions backed by science. It was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. You don't have to go to the doctor and ask him weird questions. You can go right online, save you hours, completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few questions, doctor will review, determine if it's right for you, and they can prescribe your medication to treat your hair loss, ship directly to your door. These holidays, when your relatives are like, hey, healthy and full, they'll finally be talking about your hair and not all the food you've been eating. Order now. My listeners can get started with Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and information. This could cost hundreds, thousands, If you went to a doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else, go to hims.com/vanity, V-A-N-I-T-Y. That's FORHIMS.com/vanity for hims.com/vanity. And that was
ad copy.
Nailed it once again. I mean, damn, Hims. People, like, no one's going to be bald anymore. I feel bad for the one guy who doesn't listen to this podcast who's still bald. Everyone else, if you come up to me with a full head of hair, I'm going to be like, oh, did you like this week's podcast? And they're going to say, yeah, it was real helpful, Anthony. Thanks for the Hims. Now, it's time for a little something we like to call Erica's Corner.
So as you guys can guess, that shit didn't end very nicely. I mean, she's seeing this other guy now. They recently moved in together. And there are rumors that he is kind of abusive. That just makes you want to take my hockey stick, walk to their house, and then blame it on him.
I love that he softens it a little bit. He's kind of abusive. And a hockey stick, it was a baseball bat. In my joke, changed it to a hockey stick, which, I mean, I can't believe in India they know more about hockey than they do about baseball.
I would think
cricket bat would be the way to go with that joke.
You know how you hear like a cover song and like the new band just reimagines it in a special way that like brings the song alive?
Yeah, I've heard of Jeremy Renner, Greg.
I mean, that's what this guy's doing for me. He's like Jeff Buckley with Hallelujah right now. They won't even remember the original by the time this guy's done.
And what happened to Jeff Buckley? Huh? I hope Arjun Rangra doesn't drown. He's got a bright future. He's got grace. Erica Temposi is our super producer. She wears a lot of hats, does a lot of stuff for the NFL Network for now. We're trying to get her out of there, but you believe you me. But she comes and does this every week for us. And then after we leave and get to go home or go do shows, she really sits down and has to go through the podcast several times. She earns her money. We love her. And we like to carve out a little piece of our own podcast for her to do whatever she wants. Ask us
me?
A question. What did I say?
Sounded like said whore own podcast. Yeah. Just a little slip of the tongue. There.
That'd be a better name than the broadcast. and just do whatever she wants. Sometimes she reads a viewer email. Sometimes she asks us a question. Sometimes she plays a game. It's really just for her to do what she wants. Erica, what do you want to do on Erica's Corner?
Well, this week we're going to do something else, but Anthony insisted that I read an email from someone specific because we did get quite a few about Greg specifically being mean to me last episode. And so Anthony wanted me to read this one from Jeffrey M. Greg, why do you always have to come right out the gate attacking Erica? This episode was particularly annoying how as soon as Erica says one word, you had to go and belittle her and pretend like you're just kidding. It's so clear that you are so jealous of any mic time that she gets whenever Anthony is in the room. I think Erica did a fantastic job this week blowing Greg off and just talking to Anthony as if Greg wasn't being a big turd. I just wish Greg would get over himself and the fact that Erica is going to have some time on the mic that isn't just while she's in the corner, Jeff.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You kind of spoke up early, and Greg shut you down. I think Greg probably likes you more than I do. I think you guys work together more. You guys are definitely closer. He knows more about you than I do, and I certainly that doesn't demean our relationship. But I think that Greg certainly doesn't hate you or is trying to demean you. I think Greg just has poor comedic instincts. That if I'm on stage and I'm dealing with a heckler, right, and the heckler yells something out and I jump on him right away, I seem kind of like a jerk. You got to let him get a couple heckles out so the audience is like, when's he going to do something? And then when you finally shut them down, the audience is like, yeah. But if you go nuts right away, the first thing they say, you look like a jerk. That I think Greg did come off poorly in last week's episode, not every time. But I think that when it comes to telling Erica to take it down a notch, I think you should leave that to me. And a part of this is Greg's insistence on introducing everyone in the beginning of the podcast as if no one's heard of us or podcasts or understands how conversations work.
Literally every other podcast that I listen to introduces the podcast when you open it. That's called broadcasting on some level, because there's a huge percentage of listeners that have never listened to the podcast.
This is Walter Cronkite. My mother was Jessica, and my father was Jeffrey Cronkite. I'm 73 years old, and I read the news to you, like I do every night, with my voice. I went to school for this specifically. Let's get into the news. That's N-E-W-S.
No, but they say this is the NBC Nightly News with, you know, with Walter Cronkite. Conan O'Brien introduces what his podcast is each time because
he's just trying to kill time. And don't act like I listen to other podcasts. And also, we're superior to every other podcast. We don't have to be like them. So I think you led yourself down a path.
I'm trying to defend both of you
that I understand a viewer being turned off by Greg's behavior, but I don't think it came from a nasty place. I just think it's bad comedic instincts. Like, there's some comedians who people are like, that guy's a jerk, and it's like, no, he's just got bad comedic instincts that he's making a joke and it comes off a little too harsh, like last week. So we like Erica talking about as much as she does. And I think if she ever steps out of line, then just let me handle it, because I can handle it like a pro. I can just like give Erica a look, you know what I mean? And she knows to shut it down. Whereas Greg kind of has to like jump in and laugh. And you sound a little bit like, you know, like you're smoking a cigar, like you're just mad a woman's there. I get it. But I can handle it. I can handle it a little differently for the sake of art.
I mean, I love Erica. That's why I brought her here to be part of this show, you know, from the NFL. We do spend a lot of time together. We tape 4 shows a week, most of the year. Three shows, I guess, once JRVP goes away. And you're right. Maybe sometimes I am a jerk, and it doesn't come across well.
I don't think you're a jerk at all. I think you can come across as a jerk.
That's what I'm saying.
If you jump
like,
in too early.
I can be mean or be a jerk, but when we're off the mic, we care about each other a lot, and like a lot of relationships that spend a lot of time together, sometimes you'll have a little dust up, but then things are stronger and the relationship's even tighter afterwards.
Sure. I mean, I think that it really was Greg's call to hire Eric as the producer, as opposed to the other option we had that we had never heard of before. So way to go. Way to go, Erica. Way to win that job.
Well, I'm saying that's a ridiculous statement. I stepped in before there were options and just said, hey, can we just, you know, hire this person that I work with at the NFL? And they were like, sure, we don't know what we're doing.
There was one other guy, and I was like, Greg, you interviewed this guy. I'm leaving.
Oh, that's right. I did meet someone for an interview. Forget about that.
Yeah,
but that the Comedy Central's brought that got us. Erica, do you feel like that's does that satisfy your? Do you think that's right? What I said. My explanation.
I think the public can get. We all joke, and me and Greg have a very kind of strict way of, not strict. That's the wrong word to use.
I'm like a dominatrix.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Is there a different word for a male dominatrix?
I tried to think of one, but couldn't come up with it in that short of time.
Dominatron. The best part about it, though, is when I sent you the text of the email.
Dominatrix.
Greg got really upset that I texted the email.
I know. When you sent the other option, I was like, Greg nixed this. I'm bringing it back. Because I felt like there was an easy explanation.
I didn't nix
it.
I just didn't know why. Yeah, she was just venting, but I like that you then brought it up. For maximum uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing was bad because we weren't taping a show yesterday. And by the time, you know, 24 hours elapses and we've already done another show since, it's, you know, it's water under the bridge.
You cool?
I'm good. Are you good?
You feel okay?
Yeah, do you?
I'm good.
We squash the beef.
We're a happy family.
Yeah.
It reminds me, when I was first on Jimmy Fallon, we would do a thing called like beef squashing. And they would bring people from the audience, like let's say like Ariana Grande and Selena Gomez were fighting in the news. They would bring 2 audience members on, and they would wear a sign that said Selena Gomez and whoever the hell else I said. And they would like make them pretend to be the other person, and then like fist bump to squash the beef. And it was, I can say this with total confidence, one of the worst bits that's ever been on television. We did it like 5 times, and whenever it was on, all the writers were just like heads in our hands, like, why are we doing this? And pretty
quickly.
It was
the first year of a new show.
Of course, there's going to be some bad ones, but it was the first like repeat bit that we were just like, why is this happening? This should not be on TV. Hmm. And I think everyone knows.
Well, I think now that that's successfully handled, I sometimes thrive off going back and forth, getting a reaction. I think Erica does too. That's why sometimes, you know, we get it out of each other. I have a new beef, and it's with Jeff Martin. Don't come into our fucking house, Jeff Martin. He's the guy who sent this email and tried to break up a happy home with your words.
He's a listener, man. I don't know why you're knocking listeners.
I don't respect him like you.
You're like
that's what you said.
You're like a politician who's saying who's saying like, I don't need your vote, loser.
You know literally what I mean? Said that you don't respect our listeners.
No. I don't have to slam them. You know what I mean? For writing an email that I appreciated being read. Jeff, I want you to write it every day and tell me, nitpick Greg. Just any little thing Greg does, I want to hear about it. Because I don't always pay attention. Sometimes I'm looking at Erica. Sometimes I'm looking at my notes. Sometimes I'm just staring off into space, waiting for this to be over. But if you notice anything, I want you to email in to jrvpjrvicepresident@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
And Erica will make sure that I see it. You know, just send it right to me. Let's cut Greg out of this process.
Yeah,
each month we'll just
it's. I mean it's just email him up, Jeff.
That's an edit.
Who knows? soon enough it'll be the Martin and Jesselnik vanity.
You're just giving Erica more work. She's got to go through and save my family relationship. She's got to save where I live and my full email address.
How's the comedic timing now?
Listen, hey, at least Eric and I don't bet on the NFL. Okay, I'll say that. I'll say that right now.
Did you see, I know this is so off topic and it's not part of our headlines, but did you see the guy who got suspended for 2 years for gambling? I forgot to bring this up.
He was out the whole year anyway, so he got suspended for 1 year.
Right.
He's also the guy who jumped off the balcony and said he was trying to save his 8-year-old nephew, but right. It was a lie. But also, when they asked him what his job was, he wrote down NFL player. Like, he had no idea it was illegal.
You apparently have to fill out like a form to get a betting account at Caesar's Palace Sportsbook, and it said occupation, and he said professional football player.
Yeah, which is, I think.
And they're just like, okay, and they have rules for this, and now his career is over.
But he also did what do they call it, the trifecta, where it wasn't like he was like, I got inside info on one game. He was like, let me just throw on these three, like, hopefully if these three teams win, I win some money. That I think it's clearly a stupid mistake. One that has
yes.
to, you have to be, punish the guy.
Yeah.
But it's not like, he was not being malicious. It was not a Pete Rose situation. But it was funny. And speaking of that, before we get into headlines, let's just finish up Erica's Corner. Erica, anything last thing to add?
I don't think so.
All
love
right.
you guys.
Then shine on, you crazy diamond. Greg loves you too.
So I'm going to be, I'll tell you something about myself. I'm not very good at computers. Like, I know how to work basic shit, but once they stop working, I don't know what the fuck to do. And I hate taking it to the repair shop because they always treat you like a drum fuck. Like this guy from behind the counter said, they are not going to find any kiddie porn in here, right? I said, no, you condescending prick. That's why I want it fixed.
He's bombing. Whoever his girlfriend is behind the camera is being so sweet to him for letting it happen. Now, let's get to headlines. Greg, what's our first headline?
Our first headline is from a guy we've talked about a lot on this podcast over the years, certainly back in the Rosenthal and Jesselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP. Well, you can't talk about, I mean, we talked a lot about Peyton Manning back on the old NFL podcast, and you can't talk about Peyton Manning without talking about
Papa John.
That's right.
Papa John was in the news this week for an interview where he took on the people that pushed him out of his old company, and he wants back in. He's not happy with how Papa John's is being run. And to prove his point, he said he's had 40 pizzas over the last 30 days, and it's just not the same pizza
anymore.
He
said the quality's dipped. He's eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days, which is an insane number. Like, is an insane number to use. You ever think about, like, Jesus? Like, Jesus chose to wander the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He could have picked 20, but he was like, no, 40 is the number. That he was like, 40 pizzas in 30 days, as if that was going to impress someone. As if a pizza a day, people would have been like, he's not really into it. You know, he's not really committed. 40 pizzas in 30 days. ate them all, and said the quality is dipping. But it took him 40 to get to that.
Well, he's testing out different locations. You know, he's testing for the quality. I believe him. I don't think he was like making up that number. He looked like a man who had eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days. And it's not just any 40 pizzas. It's the worst goddamn pizza you've ever had. It's Papa John's. I don't know if you've ever had Papa John's. They used to sometimes order it in the newsroom at the NFL. And I started just bringing in backup food in case that was what they were feeding us, because Papa John's will kill you.
Papa John's is manna from heaven compared to Little Caesars. But I understand your point. It's not good pizza. I haven't eaten in 20 years maybe. But I think just the idea of Papa John's walking into a Papa John's and being like, one pizza, and then like again? Like, Papa, this month you've been in here 39 times. Like, it just, did he order it to his house? Does he have someone go get it? Or does he go in and want to see what the store's like? Because that would freak me out.
And he was wearing like a bright red shirt, the Papa John colors, in this interview. Does he still walk around in the bright red everywhere he goes because he wants people to know Papa John's? Because
he's like, he's like Tiger Woods on Sunday. You know what I mean? He's wearing the red.
Right. It's tricky. I mean, when you are Papa John and you get fired from Papa John's for being racist, among other things, that's tough. Like, where do you go? Your whole identity is gone.
Papa John's could easily cover it up. You know, I mean, you know a certain side of Papa John's, but if he's just not hugging Peyton Manning at the 50-yard line right after the Super Bowl, I wouldn't recognize him. You know, he looks like every guy's dad. You know what I mean? He looks like a lot of people's dads, that he could just not wear the red shirt.
No.
Put on a hat or sunglasses, you wouldn't know Papa John's. Someone's like, is that Papa John's? You'd be like, maybe. How many people look like Papa John's?
Not that many. He looks like everyone's dad, but with bad plastic surgery and having eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days.
Yeah. It's not it's not good. But he really wants his job back. He thinks he's the only one who can save the company. I think the company has rebounded since the scandal. But Erica, you told me that the interview really clears a lot up.
Yeah, it actually makes, I know this like doesn't make a lot of sense, but the interview will, so here.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days. Livy currently and Mark Shapiro should be in jail. He has no pizza experience. He's never been in the pizza category.
Anyone who makes bad pizza should go to jail.
Stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. The record will be straight.
Why not set the record straight now? I mean, what is it about the record that's not straight?
Stay tuned.
The day of reckoning will come. Papa John's thinks the world's going to end. And I did not know that's what Papa John sounded like. Papa John sounded like he just finished Pizza 40. Like, Papa John sounds like he coaches LSU football.
That was an amazing job by the journalist on that important story, asking him, well, why not set the record straight now? Why not make today the day of reckoning? We've got this whole video crew right here. You're not getting people out here again.
Imagine the guy even being like, I can't believe I got to go interview Papa John. This guy got fired a year ago. And he wants to talk about a day of reckoning. Like, I've never seen it. It'd be like, hey, Erica, take a mic and a camera and go interview the Noid.
Okay, so this chick had a parrot. Are you hearing this? She owned a parrot. That fucking thing never shut up. But the bird was cool.
That was more stand-up from Arjun Rang.
That was like his Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower.
A little bit.
No one even remembers the Bob Dylan version.
A little bit. Speaking of Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan, it's time for
Ad Copy.
Ship Station, everybody. The holiday rush is coming. You know what? It's here. And with more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship packages out quickly, efficiently, and affordably, or your business is cooked. Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door. And delivered in time for the holidays. No matter what you're selling, it's on Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, like merch at anthonyjeselnik.com that you can still get in time for the holidays. ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, that's United States Postal Service for people out there, FedEx, Federal Express, and UPS, which no one knows what it means. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts. They are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You always know you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice for online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available.
Take the hassle out of holiday shipping this year and let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use our offer code VANITY to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free, no hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Visit ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in VANITY. That's ShipStation.com, VANITY. Just give us our award for the best ad read. ShipStation, make ship happen.
And that was
bad copy.
I feel like for that one, vanity isn't so much about the Jeselnik and Rosenthal vanity project. Chair VP.
Junior vice president.
God damn it, Greg. I think it's more like you're so vain, you have to use ShipStation. You know what I mean? You're so beautiful and enamored with yourself that why would you use anything else but ShipStation? What's our next headline, Greg?
Our next headline's from the world of morning television. Savannah Guthrie, who hosts the Today Show, lost vision in her right eye recently and tore her retina because her two-year-old son threw a toy train straight into her eyeball.
She lost vision. She was worried it might be a torn retina. I don't believe it was. She'll be okay, but she definitely lost
all
vision.
It did tear the retina. Lost vision. It did come back.
Okay.
But it was gone for a little while.
Have you ever met Savannah Guthrie?
I have not.
I have, actually. I sat next to her on The Tonight Show years ago. She was a wonderful woman.
I remember that.
Wonderful woman. Couldn't have been nicer. I remember, like, she's the first guest. I'm second. And everyone backstage is like, I love her so much. Like, she's a great person, a great personality for the Today Show. And two-year-olds are vicious monsters. My sister's got a two-year-old now, my little niece, Paige, who she said, and she's big. She's, like, big for a two-year-old. She looks like she's four. And my sister's holding her, and Paige slaps her across the face, like open hand slaps her. My sister
slaps
My sister has to put her down and like goes in the other room to cry.
Oh my god!
And Paige walks into the room and puts her arm on her and says, "Mommy, I'm sorry I had to do that." Like 2 year olds are out of their minds, insane.
She's a Jeselnik.
That I believe that a 2 year old would just out of love just chuck a train right into her eye. And when I was sitting next to her talking to Jay Leno, if I had a train, you know what I mean, I probably would have thrown it just to see what would happen. If you know Savannah Guthrie, she's like a perfect woman. She is smart, knowledgeable, beautiful, has everything, confidence is everything, that you want to chuck a train right in one of her eyes. That I think her kid was showing her some love. And I'm glad that she's going to be okay. Like, Greg, what's the worst injury your child has done to you? I'm assuming it's going to be the two-year-old range. Your kids are small.
For me, it's more, it's more like emotional. You know, Walker telling me he doesn't like me for a couple of years straight. But, yeah, kids don't fuck around. I mean, they'll throw shit. They'll throw hands.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen too often, but Walker's definitely, you know, throwing stuff at me, or really more, I think, Emeka, now that I can think of it. And the thing that really struck me in this article is how proud Guthrie's son was after he did it. He just like came into the other room to tell other people about it, going like, I did it, and like is so excited. And that's what like gets you about kids when they do stuff to either you or, in Walker's case, his sister Ellis. Like, he'll push her and do stuff to her, and then he'll be laughing. They like he spikes the football, like he celebrates him taking you down, and you kind of don't know what you kind of don't know what to do. This is gonna sound, it's gonna sound like parents don't usually talk about this, but I know they think it. Like, I'm not someone who ever has like aggressive feelings. Like, I never want to punch anyone or do anything. But there have been times, and I've talked about this with Emeka, like together, where you do understand the impulse of how, like, you know, parents have used like punishment, like hitting their kids. Like, you understand, like, and Emeka said the same thing, that like you understand, like, because it just makes you, and of course you would never ever do that, but I've never felt that, you know, in any way, and you do kind of understand that impulse that you just want to fucking kill him for a second.
If someone asked me, like, did your parents hit you, I would say no, absolutely not. Did I catch a slap every now and again? Yes, I did, and it was well deserved. Like, I had to really set them over the edge. That, like, yeah, I get the impulse. My favorite one was my little brother, who everyone loved. Like, no one ever got mad at my little brother. He was beloved, but he did something, I forget what it was, that my mom spanked him. She just kind of, like, he was running up the stairs and she spanked him, and she hit him in such a way that it, like, broke, it, like, ripped a tendon in her finger, that she had to go to the emergency room and have, like, surgery to, like, reconnect the tendon.
Because
and had to wear this,
hit.
Like, plastic cast.
Holy cow.
When she came home, and when she walked in, my brother goes, "That's what you get for beating my little butt."
How old was he?
I mean, old enough to realize how funny that was. I mean, it was, I don't think my mom even started dying laughing. We tell that story all the time. But yeah, my mom had to go to the ER.
I mean, telling stories that your mom might not want to hear on the podcast.
My mom loves, no, everyone loves that story. But I mean, listen, if you knew my brother growing up, he got it very, very easy. Mm. And if she was spanking him, it was like the lightest spank. Like, my dad once spanked me for climbing out. We like found a way to get out on the roof at night. We would walk around on the roof in the middle of the night, and my dad is in the bathroom. Like, he gets up from bed and he's in the bathroom and he just sees like three of his kids. I think I was probably like five. I was the oldest, like walking on the roof and just goes berserk and is like, just like so scared for his kids that he's screaming and pulls us all in and he spanks me. But the spank was so light, because my dad just didn't have it in him to spank, that I'm start laughing more, and then I'm like, now I'm really in trouble. Like, now I'm going to get grounded for this, because I should have been like, ow! Like, oh my God, I've never felt such pain. But instead, I laughed because it was such a weak-ass spanking. My dad wouldn't have saved his fingers.
Dang.
He didn't want to go to the
ER. I never got it.
My mom used to grab us and chase us, and then if we swore, she'd take our mouths, and she'd pinch our mouths open, and she'd put hot pepper under our tongues.
Ooh, that's illegal.
That's got to be.
People have died.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was a woman I remember who would like make her.
I think they did that didn't they do that when they were hazing us in a fraternity?
Really?
There was one woman who like made her daughter like take a spoonful of like Tabasco or something and then keep running around a table and then like take another spoonful and she died. Like, you're not supposed to do things like that.
It wasn't like a spoonful. We just get hot pepper under our tongues.
I mean, get it together, Mrs.
But that's, that's not good. My favorite, the best abuse story in my house, my sister Caroline, who had balls like bigger than any of us. My mom and I would fight sometimes. My Caroline was like a real terror, where Caroline said, I think you called my mom the B word, which was unheard of in my house. And bitch, for those of you who don't know. And my mom chased her upstairs. Caroline locked herself in her room. And my mom says, "Caroline, you open this door right now. Oh, I'm going to break it down." And Caroline goes, "Who are you, the big bad wolf?" And within seconds, that door was off its hinges. My mom took it down in one kick like the SWAT team.
Holy shit.
It was, we were all just like amazed that day that my at the power of my, like people talk about like, you know, mothers lifting up cars. It was like you say something sarcastic to my mom, and she has the power of 100 men.
Wow,
she could take
them
home.
I never was touched, but I could imagine like the angriest I'll ever be at Ellis is when I tell her to like go to her room or whatever, and she just like says like, "I want to go to my room," like some sort of little smart ass remark like and laughs at me in response or something.
Wait till they get to the point where they just mimic you. They're like, "Go to your room, get in your room." That's when you're really going to be tested. She's about a year away from that.
Actually, Walker broke out an impression of me this week, and it just made me laugh. I mean, he did. It was pretty good.
What did he do?
I'm trying to remember. Exactly what it was, but it was somehow he somehow like he just said the exact same thing that I said to him, like about being careful or whatever, but he waited like 30 seconds until like 30 seconds later when it like perfectly came up in conversation. He was like, "Oh, don't walk across the street like that," or something like that. And I was just like, I like high-fived him. It was great.
I didn't realize how like abusive I was towards my parents, and just in terms of like I would laugh at everything. Like, I never took anything seriously, and they'd be trying to get me to take something seriously, and I'd be cracking up laughing. And then I left for college, and my brother is like, my dad's tying my brother's tie. My brother just starts cracking up. My dad just goes, "Don't play Anthony." Don't play Anthony. And now we say it's like it's become a saying in our household that whenever anyone is just starts laughing right in someone's face, don't play Anthony.
I've also learned a lot from my parents. Like the first time I got a bad report card, I went and showed it to my dad. I'm going to be honest, he beat the shit out of me. But I was smart. The next time I got a bad report card, I went and showed it to my mom. Let her take the hit.
Pretty good. Pretty good, Arjun.
A mother in Pennsylvania.
This is a tough one.
I mean, we don't do like warnings, but the last story tonight is a tough one. A mother in Pennsylvania was charged last week in the death of her son, 8-year-old Connor, and 4-year-old daughter, Brinley, after they were found hanging at the home that they all live in. At first, she said that the kids had done it themselves, that the son had been being bullied and were talking about it. And then over the course of the investigation, it became clear that she had committed the crime, or at least that they were going to charge her for the crime. So she's being charged with first and third degree murder, tampering with evidence, and endangering the welfare of her two children. Also, in the course of the investigation, it was revealed that she had sexual intercourse with a dog and was charged with animal cruelty.
I mean, that's so fucked up.
It's so. I mean, listen, we talk a lot about stories about mothers and things going wrong on here. But even when Greg brought this story up, Eric and I were both just shocked.
What kind of mother
has sex with a dog?
Can fuck a dog?
What kind of mother has sex with a dog and then tapes videos of it?
Takes pictures. Yeah, they found photos of the dog sex.
I mean, that's she's got to be the worst mother of all time.
Easily.
For having sex with the dog. I wonder if the kids caught her having sex with the dog, and then she tried to cover it up, because I've never heard of anything worse than a mom. Like, you would think that as a mother, you have like some innate thing inside your heart to not have sex with your dog, you know, but this woman just
or
didn't
that they
have
were
it.
Yeah, somehow getting in the way of the sex with the dog.
That's possible.
That's just disgusting.
And why does she have to film it? Like, if someone told me, hey, I had sex with my dog, I'd be like, I believe you. I wouldn't be like, hey, show me the video. You know, picture it didn't happen. And you think you clean your phone, you know, after that. Like, who do you send that to get the booty call? You know what I mean? The animal shelter? Like, hey, I can take care of a dog. Watch this. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I like to think that everyone is capable of redemption. But in this mother's case, you just can't have sex with a dog.
The story really upset me.
Mm-hmm. Really hit home for Erica.
Yeah, it's just like people can be so cruel.
Right, as someone who wants to be a mother.
I am
and,
a dog
and
mother.
And owns a dog, yeah.
I mean, that is, I feel like we cross a lot of lines on this show, but this makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it's just, as soon as Greg told me a mother had sex with her dog, I said, you know, throw any details you want, but it's just a bummer, you know, of a thing. At least they got the video stuff. At least they have it. I wonder if they'll release it. You think? Could you get it?
Like,
could you call up Goodell and see if he can get it for us?
That would be like a way to like make something positive out of a very tough situation. Like to sell the video and use it for charity. You know, for dog cruelty.
I wonder, do they put the dog down in something like that? Do they hang it?
I mean, I think the dog's been punished enough.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
It's Manscaped. They're back. I mean, we must be selling some major Manscaped material. Their lawnmower.
I sell them out of the trunk of my car.
Because Manscaped keeps coming back. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag.
You can shave your dog if you want to.
Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. It's an electric trimmer. And Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Don't use the same trimmer on your face as you would downstairs. It's just nasty. Manscaped also has a crop preserver the anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You put deodorant on your armpits. Why not put it on the smelliest part of your body? It's a good call. Get 20% off free shipping with the code VANITY at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping when you use the code VANITY at manscaped.com at checkout. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com, VANITY at checkout. We know that you're buying up some Manscaped, RGVP listeners, and we appreciate it.
And that was
ad copy.
You know what bugs me about the Manscaped ad that they give us is at the bottom they have examples of good reads and their YouTube clips. Like, we need that. Okay? We crush it. I should be on the effing box. All right? I don't know why you give me example
Anthony
of a good read.
Like on the box of my ball shaver.
Be careful what you wish for. I mean, you have management. I'm sure that could be arranged. I know you've been asked to like endorse various things over the years, and you usually say no. This could be something, you know, they say yes, you say yes.
I'm waiting for the 3.0. The 3.0, it's like you can do it from across the room. And it's just me on the box, just chilling with my dog, just staring straight
like,
at you.
You can like throw the lawnmower 3.0.
You can just honestly, the 3.0, you just get into bed, you go to sleep, you turn it on, and when you wake up, you're all good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. Get on that science. And now it's time for
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, you want to go first?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I'm going to go. This is funny. I had to go back. I want to give a shout out to the guy who did the Amazon wish list, because I had to go back through and make sure I'd never recommended this before. That's going to be a helpful tool as we get into later episodes. It's going to be as helpful a tool as the Lawnmower 2.0.
I just retweeted that list this week on Tuesday. So if anyone's curious, you could go check it out. You know, buy your holiday gifts by listening to us.
It's under my likes, just so I can go back and reference it when I need to. And we'll eventually give him more credit. I didn't write the name down. But I picked, last week I talked about a book called Stoner by John Irving, I believe. It was about kind of getting into academia, escaping a life on a farm and getting into academia and how even that can go wrong. You think it's like this amazing life. And I think a lot of books about writers and people like that get romanticized, to where this book I'm using, it's a classic called Ask the Dust by John Fante, F-A-N-T-E. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's about just a guy who's like a writer in Los Angeles. It's almost as if on the road, you know, the guy was hopeless. You know what I mean? Like, on the road is like the ultimate, like, I'm a teenage person who wants to be a writer. I'm going to read that because that sounds like the greatest life ever. This guy's life sounds like hell. He's just barely getting by. He's lying to his family and like lying about rent and everything. Mm. And it's just a very unromantic look at being a writer back in 1960s, 70s LA that I highly recommend. It's just it's a bucket of reality for anyone who wants to know what a writer's life is really like. And it's a classic, Ask the Dust by John Fante. Greg, go ahead.
All right, this week I'm doing something a little different. I'm going to give you the three worst.
Is that you?
Was that a weird sound?
Yeah.
Out of your throat.
I thought it was my stomach, but it was in the mics. Leave it.
Don't leave it.
Bleep out my email address with that over and over again.
I mean, I had just taken a big drink of water, and maybe there's
water doesn't make that
swallowing.
Sound.
I know. I mean, I'm a little troubled by this, but I'm going to forge ahead.
I've got a great orthodontist you can see about that.
You know, when I pull into work, you have to roll down the windows, and there's a security guard there, you know, and you use your pass to open the gate, and you know, you say good morning to the security guard. And I always think about, like, sometimes I have to turn the music down, or sometimes you forget, and like there are some songs that are just like the most embarrassing songs for that to happen when I'm coming in. Three and some songs I really jam to. And so I'm giving you these songs for Christmas to add to your to your playlist. These are the three worst songs, you know, most embarrassing, but the songs are amazing. You know what I mean? But it's like number one, I'm going Vibes by DaBaby. Just because I'm like a 40-year-old man, I shouldn't be listening to DaBaby, and it's like a little too sexual. That's very embarrassing. But
I've had Babysitter on repeat.
But that is an amazing song. Number two, Reeler by Megan Thee Stallion. For similar
reasons.
Isn't
it Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah. You know, I'm old. Again, I'm too old for that. It's very sexual. But they should like give her a Grammy just for the way she says the word bitch. It is amazing.
And I'm a big fan of hers.
Number one is All My Happiness Is Gone by Purple Mountains, which is one of my favorite albums of the year. Former Silver Jews guy. It's about as depressing a song, but it sounds happy as is possible, as the title All My Happiness Is Gone would indicate. And that one I always feel a little embarrassed when I'm rolling the window down for that. But all great tunes. And that was my recommendation.
I mean, until you said all great tunes, I would have thought you were like not recommending these.
No, they're all amazing. They're all amazing.
Yelling into the microphone.
She's going to have to turn. Yeah, I'm giving you a tough job here today, Erica.
I was going to try to see Frozen 2 tonight. I guess that's not happening.
Really?
No.
I mean, you're an adult. Come on, people.
Erica, you saw it before me.
What do you got for recommendation?
I mean, I had two children with me.
I really, really, really liked Living With Yourself with Paul Rudd. I watched it all in one sitting. You don't like it?
I just thought when I would see you tweet about it, I thought you were being sarcastic. You're the only person who has liked the show at all.
Really?
Everyone loves Paul Rudd universally. Even his movies that aren't hits, people are like, yeah, but Paul Rudd was great. I hear this is not good.
From who?
Like everything. Like you would think a TV show with Paul Rudd on Netflix.
It's not funny. It's not supposed to be funny.
If it was really good, people would be talking about it like crazy.
Yeah. For me, I guess it was more of like, I really love like finding stuff that I only saw a few people talk about. Like The Irishman was so hyped up and I watched it and I was like, okay, it's fine, but it's nothing spectacular. Like whatever. So for me, it was more of like the way that they played with time. And I thought it was a really, really cool idea about basically this. He gets cloned and he has to live with his clone. And it's a pretty stupid, not going to happen storyline. But it was a quick, like, What do you mean?
Not going to happen storyline. You're saying it's not ripped from the headlines?
No. But... No, it's. I think you'd like it. I think you would. Didn't you? Have you seen any of it, Craig?
No, but I have. I have heard some negative things.
That's okay. You can have an opinion.
I mean, I don't have an opinion. I haven't seen it.
I knew you guys wouldn't like it, but this is something that it's.
I love Paul Rudd. I've loved him since Clueless.
Me too. He was really, really good in it, and also his range. Like him as an actor, normally I just see him as like the funny guy that's like sort of stupid. In this, I thought it was really good.
It's Multiplicity the series.
Yeah.
Do you know what Multiplicity is?
That show, right? That, the book? The movie.
Who's in the movie?
Slipping off the top of my head.
He did not do Batman 3 to do this movie.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Multiplicity. He plays a bunch of different clones.
Oh. It's not like a clone thing. It's like, well, it is clones, but like, okay. So Paul Rudd's like super depressed.
What are you doing?
Oh yeah, we've had.
You're not gonna convince us.
Just give me ten seconds.
You named it, and people can go by that, and they can find it if they want to.
Watch it; it's really good. And someone DM'd me because I posted it on my Instagram. And was like, don't recommend that because Anthony and Greg are just gonna laugh at you, even though it's really good.
Neither one of us laughed. I would never laugh at something I haven't even seen. What do I know?
Yeah, exactly. Watch it.
But I'm not going to watch it.
Nope. And that was...
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. And now, Ellis, hit me with the sign-off, baby.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
Is it cool that I call you 6-year-old baby?
Is it cool that your phone's ringing while the mics are still on?
It's an alarm I put on.
Be a pro.
So I need to get out of here to go do my show.
They said they found, like, as part of the investigation, I guess we'll talk about that. They found photos. That was how they knew, like, she had taken photos of her fucking the dog.
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Do it for the gram. All right, let's run through this. You guys ready?
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.